The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Ian Connor from Richmond, Virginia, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 244 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and today on the show, I have my lovely co-host, all the way from WDW Today Podcast and from touringplans.com, it's Mike Scopa. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hello.
Man, a few words today.
Yes.
So, Mike, I actually have a shout out. I don't know if you have a shout out, but I have a shout out.
Who?
So this is appropriate because of what we're going to be talking about today. But my shout out is to my buddy, Amanda Gonzalez, who is actually an agent with MEI. And she was one of my cruise buddies that I went on the Dream with. I went on a 4-day cruise and she planned everything out and we had an amazing time. We did a catamaran ride with snorkeling and all sorts of, I learned how to make a mojito and had a lot of relaxing time. So it was really good. But the best part was that she and I walked the 5K together. So on Castaway Key, we had a great time.
You learned how to make a volcano?
No, not a volcano, a mojito. Oh. I think you need a mojito. So.
Yeah, I could use the lava.
Butterbing. So we have a very special guest on the show, as Ooh. We always do. This one word thing is really fabulous. We have somebody who I actually got to meet in person for the first time on The Dream, and that is Megan Biller, and she is one of the authors, along with Krista Albrecht, of Magic Miles, The Runner's Guide to Walt Disney World. Welcome to the show again, Megan.
Thanks. It was so nice to meet you on The Dream.
You were looking pretty relaxed in your bathing suit, and we had coffee.
Hey, being from Michigan, I was taking in all the warmth I could.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So before we get to our topic, we know we had you on the show a long while back, to talk about your book, and your book is now in what edition is it?
This is number 3.
Okay. So it's available on Amazon, and the book is kind of like a written version of a lot of the topics that we talk about on the podcast, which is an overview of the Run Disney events, how to register, where to stay, what the expo is about, how to train, all sorts of things like that. Is it available anywhere else except for Amazon?
Yes, it is available. You can go to our website, which is runnersguide2wdw.com. On there, it's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, available on ebook, Kindle, Nook, iBook, all sorts of things. So if you click on the buy the book, it'll show you all the different places where you can purchase it.
That's awesome. And I guess since you're on the 3rd edition, it's going well.
Yes. Yes, it is. And we're starting to feel our groove. It's a lot. That first edition was scary, just being a new author, absolutely. But now we've got our system down and we're learning what else people want us to include and what questions they have. So the 3rd edition, just kept going off of the first two, but we added in a best of Run Disney chapter, which kind of, we get a lot of where's the best place to stay? What's the best race for beginners? So we kind of put our input on that. Try to keep up with all the changes that Run Disney does to make it a better experience for everybody.
Gotcha. And it's changing all the time, so it must be interesting to keep up with it, especially since things are coming and things are going. And
yeah, we were just about ready to publish the 2015 edition, and then Run Disney goes, oh, we're not doing Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
Delete.
Oh, boy. Well, I have it, and it's a great book, so I recommend it to people. But the reason that we're here, in addition to talking about your book, is to talk about something that I think, you know, we've been doing this podcast for 2.5 years now, Mike, and I think out of all the podcasts, this is the one that I've heard the most buzz about, people saying, I really want to hear about this. And that is the inaugural Castaway Key 5K Challenge. So Megan and I were both there. I don't know if you were going, Megan, anyway, but it certainly enticed me to take another cruise. But as people know, there's been a 5K that's run by Disney cruise staff for a long time. It's kind of informal. You kind of sign up the day of or just before, and you go out, and when people debark at the regular time, you go and run this 5K and get a, you know, very nice medal. This time, though, Run Disney actually had their people on the ground, and they coordinated the event. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the Castaway Key 5K Challenge. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I want to ask Megan, what were your thoughts when you heard about this announcement? I mean, did you say, yes, I want to do this right away, I need more medals, or how did you decide to go?
Well, actually, we had booked the cruise probably 2 months before it was announced.
Wow.
And, yeah, we had planned on going back down for Marathon Weekend. And I told my husband, I said, after doing Dopey and then coming right home and going to work, I said, no, we're not doing that this time. We are going to relax after Marathon Weekend. So we had it booked, and then Run Disney announced it for the cruise I was on. And so I'll admit I had a little bit of a split feeling on it. Part of me was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get another medal. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be really cool. Another part of me was kind of like, oh man, it might not have been a full cruise. But it was, you know, I think it was really neat. The medal is, I think, one of my favorites. But I was really excited to see how it compared, because I know a lot of people had run the regular 5K before, and there was kind of mixed emotions on it, so I was really interested to see how they were going to change it.
And for me, I was kind of raring to go on another cruise, and it just came up at a perfect time. And it's, I think it's a great, you know, amount of time. I've been on a 3-day cruise and it's too short, and I've been on a 7-day cruise and I would love to do that again, but a 4-day cruise after Marathon Weekend just seemed perfect to me, so I jumped right on it.
Yep, I agree that the 4-night was perfect.
I have a question for the both of you. Do you think that the reason why Disney put together this challenge was to boost their early January, it's on the Dream, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dream Cruise, or do you think that they were trying to just capitalize on the Run Disney craziness? Megan, what do you think?
I think both. You know, I guess if you kind of look back to Run Disney's history, the whole reason they started these races was, you know, the downtimes at Disney. So I think that that's part of, you know, why they chose Cruise Line. But I also think that, I mean, my goodness, Run Disney runners, we're all crazy in our own regard. And another chance to get a medal was just another thing to capitalize on.
Yeah. So one of the things that I noticed on the boat was that, and I heard this from cruise staff, or cast members, I guess we'd call them, is that there seemed to be a very high ratio of adults to children. But more than that, there are a lot of adults traveling without children. So that what happened on the ship this time, the ship was not full. It was the capacity, I guess, is about 4,000. We were told it was at about 3,300. However, there are a lot more adults than what they were used to. And the reason that we knew this was we went to Palo twice. And and that's a whole nother story in itself. But the people, our servers at Palo, who are absolutely fantastic, said that they have never had so many reservations on both of the nights that we were there. The people at Remy were saying the same thing, the other restaurant. The other thing that happened was when we went to Castaway Key for the barbecue, the the person who runs that area, who's also the maitre d'Apollo, said in his 10 years of sailing with Disney cruises, he has never seen the line so long at the barbecue. They were just slammed. And they handled it beautifully, but they were just really surprised at the number of adults who were going on the adult beach and going to the adult restaurants. So
it was, the beach was full. We had a hard time finding a chair.
Yeah, we got on there. We were the first ones on the beach, but we'll talk about that later on. Okay, so first of all, let's back up to the race announcement was made. And for the Castaway Key Challenge, you had to do one of the races during marathon weekend. So one of the cool things is that you didn't have to do the Dopey or the Goofy. It could be any of those races in the 4-day span. So it could be the 5K, the 10K, the half, or the full. And if you did that, then you could sign up for the Castaway Key Challenge.
How did you prove that you did one of those races?
Well, that's interesting. I don't think I ever had to prove that I did one of those races. Megan?
I didn't either. You know, I wonder if they checked to make sure we were signed up for one, maybe. I don't know. They never checked anything for me.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know it sold out. And the total number of people there were about 750 people. So it's not a huge race. But I had that same thought, Mike. Nobody, they may have gone through the list to see, but nobody checked. So then you signed up, and I think you had to put your cruise reservation number, though.
Yes, that was one thing that they made very clear, was that you had to have your cruise booked first.
Right, so you had to book your cruise, and then you had to put that in your application. So, all right, so we signed up for the cruise, signed up for the race, and then the next time that, I kept on thinking about it from now until the time we cruised, I believe they announced it in May, and then the next time we had to think about it was at the expo. So, Megan, do you want to explain what we had to do at the expo to get ready for the race? The expo in Orlando.
First, I guess it's worth noting that, I mean, obviously this is inaugural, they've never really worked with Disney Cruise Line in this way, but information was given very late, I felt. You know, we kind of didn't know what was going on until maybe like a week before the marathon weekend. But I did notice that when they gave the event guide, that there was a little spot in the expo map that said Castaway Key 5K. So that was my indication that I needed to go pick up my bib there, which they did explain. So I went and got, I ran the 10K and the marathon. So I went and got those bibs and then went down, and we were given our bib, our final race instruction brochure thing, safety pins, and our shirts all, and a gear bag, all right there.
Mm-hmm. So you had to take all that stuff onto the cruise with you. You know, of course, you weren't going to leave it in Orlando, but it was down in the area. It was down in the Jostin Center. Or is it the Milk House or the Milk House?
It's the Field House.
Yeah, the Field House. So it was down in the basement, and it was an area, and it was just, I knew right away it was going to be a much smaller race because there were two lines, 0 to 500 or 0 to 499 and 500 to 1,000. And, you know, no line at all. Went very, very well. And I really, really like the shirt. The shirt is white, and it kind of has a, you know, a, kind of a tropical look to it. It's a short sleeve tech shirt, but I was happy with that, but we'll talk about more gear later on. But you got your bib, it put you in a corral. There are just three corrals.
Yep.
Okay, I have questions on the expo at the Castaway Key Expo. Did they sell New Balance shoes?
There was no Castaway Key Expo.
Oh, no problem.
There was no, the gear there was in the shop, so we can talk about that next. So so then the next step, of course, was we do all of our races, and or one race, whatever whatever you decided to do. For me, it was two. For Megan, it was two. And then got on the ship, and then we had heard, now I don't know, Megan, if you heard this, I had heard that there was going to be gear, maybe it was in the race instructions, that the gear was going to be in the shops on the Disney Dream. Do you remember where that was mentioned?
I think it was either in the Navigator or in those final race instructions. And I can tell you that I know that myself, along with many runners, the first question we asked when we got on that ship is, what time does that place open? And Run Disney runners with their merchandise. It was very, very important that we knew when it opened, and none of the shops can open until they set sail. So we were told, I think it was like 5:45 or something like that.
So I believe I did know about it before I got on. I'm almost positive I knew about it before I got on the cruise. So it must have been.
It might have been.
It probably was. So here's where I have a sort of a different philosophy for myself than I know a lot of my running friends do. I don't need to have extra clothes. I mean, look, when I first started doing these races, I would buy extra, but I have so many race shirts. I was curious to see what was there. And we had late dinner. And so when we were headed down towards the show, which we saw before the dinner, which is about 6 o'clock, I mean, I've seen lines before, but I was really kind of blown away by the lines. The line was huge, and they had Run Disney people there, herding people into the shop, asking, if you're going to the right, you're going in the shop. If you're going to the left, you're going into the show. So that there wasn't a confusion because the corridor is kind of small. And the line was really long. How long did you wait, Megan?
We didn't get down there until after 5:45. Because I figured people would be in line, but I didn't think that they'd be like camped out there at 5 o'clock. I mean, I don't know what time they actually got there, but the line like went almost all the way around the store. I couldn't believe it. And there were just like two little kiosks,
racks,
I
right?
guess. Yeah. And one wasn't even the challenge. It was just the 5K. We were laughing in line about, we're like, oh, we got to get in line for the merchandise. And, you know, we're watching it just fly off the shelf. And I wanted just to kind of see what it was, but oh my goodness, we had to laugh about it.
it was quite something. And you know, I've been to expos before. The Dumbo Double Dare comes to mind, where people are grabbing things like it was, you know, the last merchandise on sale. It was not very much. It was, I would say, five different shirts.
And most of them, like two or three of them, were the same design. It was just different colors.
Correct. Yes. And some of them were tech shirts and some of them were cotton. I picked up a cotton one that had, you bought it. It sounds like I ran again. And then on the back is a map, and it was $32.99. It wasn't a tech shirt. So that was interesting to me. I also saw magnets, car magnets. I saw a pin. I think that's about all I saw.
They had Bondi bands, too.
Bondi bands, okay.
Yep. But, you know, the windows are all the way around the shop, and we were like knocking on the window trying to get the people to like show us the shirts, because that was how we were determining if we even wanted to stay in line.
Right. And I accosted some of my friends on the way out with bags. They had waited in line, and I said, show me your stuff. So I took pictures of it, but I didn't actually go in.
We went in and got the shirts, and then we looked behind like where you paid, and there were like baskets of more merchandise. So they were very well stocked. I was pleasantly surprised that they were very well stocked.
So thinking about what the Dream has as far as facilities and everything, and thinking that this is just a 5K, probably was a conscious effort to not have an expo and not have a speaker series because it was just a 5K.
Well, they did actually have a speaker series.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to that
but,
yet.
Okay. Well, I know Jeff wasn't there, right?
No, Tara Guidus was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was Fitz there?
No, just Tara Guidus and somebody from Runner's World.
Yeah.
So just getting back to the store to finish that up. One of the interesting things I saw, because I went into the store several times, is that it looked like nothing sold out. I went in pretty much every day after the line was gone to look. And there were tons of shirts. In fact, I saw people restocking the shirt thing once or twice. Did you get that same impression, Megan?
Yeah, I was actually kind of blown away, considering, although, you know what, I mean, I was at the Marathon Weekend Expo on Friday, and stuff was pretty well stocked there, too, but I was very pleased with that, because, I mean, for only 750 runners, I was thinking it was just going to be a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah. So, I don't know, are you happy you waited in line? Would you recommend
that
people do it?
We ended up waiting in line more than 5 or 10 minutes. We happened to get towards the end of it, and they were pushing people through pretty quick.
Oh, that's good, because I ran into a friend who said they waited for 30 minutes in line.
My guess is they got there before. I think we just happened to get there towards the end of the rush.
Okay.
Because there weren't very many people behind us.
So the next thing was, the next day they had advertised the speaker series. It was from 4 to 5 p.m. and it was in the Buena Vista Theater. And unfortunately, I did not plan my time well, because I planned a massage at that time. So I went and did that. But I did, at that point, I realized that Tara Guidus was going to be on that speaker panel. And I don't know who the lady was from Runner's World. You went to that, though, Megan, didn't you?
Yes. She's the editor of the Zelle, which is like the new women's part of Runner's World that they started.
Okay.
She's the editor of that.
But I did, on the way to the massage, poke my head in to see. And it looked like there were, I don't know, maybe 150 people in there?
Yeah. It wasn't packed, but there was a good amount of people there.
Right. So can you tell us how that went?
Yeah. They started with the Runner's World editor. I don't remember her name. She was kind of giving some pointers about training a little bit. And then Tara talked about nutrition, of course, which she's a hoot to listen to. And then they had I believe his name is Chris, and he's the course director. And he spoke about the course and what to expect, and, you know, how it was a different course. And then they opened it for a question and answer.
So when you say different course, it's different than the regular 5K that they do on Castaway Key.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. The regular one, I guess, is usually two loops or something like that. And this was not.
So that lasted for an hour, and I actually talked to Tara. She was really excited because it was her first cruise, and I was going to try to get her on the show, but she's actually in Disneyland right now running the next series of shows. But that's kind of interesting. I'm sorry that I missed that, but I do actually have a heads up on who is going to be there for the princess one, and that is Jeff Galloway. So he's going to be there for that cruise where they're doing this again. So then the next day was the actual race day, and
they did have a Run Disney office set
right,
up
yes.
in one of the conference rooms, and I did go there just to look, and they had, I think it was packet pickup for anybody who didn't get it. They had the map up, and they did have some medals out from the different races.
Okay. Yeah, they did. And I actually went in there to ask them afterwards if they had planned on doing this again, and they said, "We don't know. We're not sure." But yeah, it was just a little tiny office, and it wasn't anybody I recognized from Run Disney. So I don't know. So the next day, they actually had a breakfast that started at 5 o'clock available. And that was in the Walt Disney, right outside the Walt Disney Theater. And we moseyed over there at about 5:30. And one of the things that I had to go back to my cabin for is I had my Key to the World card, but the cruise director said that I needed to get a picture ID. So I had to run back and get that. So when they're letting you off the boat, you always need both of them, even for this. When it's, I thought Castaway Key, I probably don't need a picture ID, but you do. So the breakfast outside was coffee, fruit. I think there might have been bagels. I didn't really have anything.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
Water. That was it.
So when they let us in, they wanted us to sit by corral. So A's sat up front, B's sat in the back part of the orchestra, and the C's sat up in the balcony. There were just three corrals. So that seemed to go really well. And then there was a woman from Run Disney who on the monitor showed us the course again and just kind of talked about what was going to happen. So I thought that went very well. Did you, Megan?
Yep, I did too.
Yeah. So one thing that was interesting to me that I didn't realize, and I don't know why, you know, it didn't, I've been on Disney cruises, is that we were actually going to be the first people off the boat on Castaway Key, and that the sun was not up yet. So we actually got a really, we had the nice privilege of and I thought, it, you know, there were 750 people. They let us out by corrals. But we actually got to see the Disney Dream from the dock of Castaway Cay before the sun came up. And I saw lots and lots of people taking photos.
Well, even I noticed a couple of the cruise line cast members were like, this is so weird to see it before the sun comes up, because usually I guess it doesn't dock by then either. And so even they were commenting on it.
Oh, it doesn't even dock by then?
I don't think so. They were making, well, or maybe it was just because we were out with it. I'm not sure. But they were all commenting on it too.
So as you guys talk about the actual race, I'm really curious regarding the similarities and the dissimilarities between this 5K and the 5Ks that have run primarily at Walt Disney World. I think the 5Ks that they run at Disneyland, I think, are very distinctive because they can run them from inside the Magic Kingdom.
You know? Well, can we take you up to getting in the corrals and then we'll talk about that? Okay, so we actually had to walk a long way, and somebody had their Garmin on, and we weren't there yet when I heard her yell out, we're 0.7 mile in. So we walked from the boat to, if you've been on a Disney cruise before, where the airstrip is. And Mike, I know that you've been there. Megan, how long did it take, do you think?
Oh my goodness. 20 minutes at least, if not longer.
Yeah, we were moseying. So, you know,
yeah, we're moving along. Well, and another thing worth noting is that the spectators, if they also had to come with us.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, so there were people, there weren't a lot, but there were people who were spectating. And then they put us into three corrals, and they had, you know, instead of a snazzy big race arch, they kind of had a blow-up one that you see, at least I see at some of my local races. Mm-hmm. And the race announcer was Christian, the cruise director, and and Mickey Mouse was there. And, you know, it was really low key. They had people actually checking your bibs when you went in. They weren't really diligent about it, but, and the corrals went off every 5 minutes or so. So I thought it was very well run, at that point.
Yeah.
Was it very dark on the island?
Well, at that point the sun had come up. So by the time we actually started the race, was it six?
It was seven.
Seven. Oh, wow. By the time we started the race, It was fine. The only complaint I heard at this point was that Amanda had to use the restroom, and she had to walk all the way over to where near the family beach to use the mm-hmm. restroom. So she had to walk another. She was gone for a long time. I don't know. Megan, did you hear anybody saying anything about that?
No, but they had told us. Now, I was in Corral A, so I don't know if. I don't remember when I heard it, but they did say that there was going to be bathrooms at Serenity Bay, which was on the other side of the airstrip. So I noticed a lot of people veer off to use the restroom at that point, which wasn't even like a half a mile in.
Interesting. So, Megan, why don't you talk about where the course went, and then we can compare for Mike.
So the course, you started down the airstrip, which is the, I believe, the same start and finish for the normal 5K. So we went down the airstrip to Serenity Bay, which is the adult-only beach. And then we took a right and went down a path that goes along all of the cabanas on Serenity Bay, and then turned around. So they did have cones in the middle of this path, which wasn't very wide. Turned around, went back to the airstrip where they had a water stop, and then went around. There's a loop that has the observation tower. So you went around that loop, and then when you got out of that loop, made a left turn, and the finish line was right there.
So I do actually think this. I've never done the other 5K, but I saw a sign near the shops and the bathrooms where the other 5K starts. So I do think this was a little different start. But so the only problem that I saw, and I thought it was, you know, a fine course. The first loop where you were going out by the cabanas, it was very congested because it's a little road, and the half of it were people going out and half of it were people coming in. And
yeah, there wasn't a lot of room to pass people, which a lot of, you know, I mean, it was a mixture of runners and walkers, and there just wasn't room to pass very well.
Right. And I know I was walking with Amanda and two or three other people, and we had to walk sort of single file to get through that. That's when I saw Tara. She was one of the first finishers. So anyway, then, you know, when we got the medals, it was not only the inaugural medal, but it was a regular 5K, kind of the rubbery medal too, which I thought was interesting. I wasn't expecting that. And one of the interesting things about that medal is it's very generic. It doesn't, unlike most other Disney races, it doesn't have the date on the ribbon, and it doesn't have the date. It just says 2015. And so later on, when they actually held the regular 5K, not the Castaway Key Challenge, I noticed that people were getting those medals too. So I wonder if it's the new Run Disney medal for 2015 for anybody doing a 5K on Castaway
Key. It is.
Yeah.
Yep. They said during the speaker panel that it was the 2015 medal for the Castaway Key 5K.
Cool. So,
Oh, on the course they had characters.
Yes, thank you. So I saw Donald Duck and Goofy.
Yes, so Donald Duck was at the end of the airstrip at Serenity Bay, and then Goofy was at the cabanas. I heard Goofy switched out to Pluto.
That's right, yeah.
But that was it. So both characters happened in the within the first mile, which was kind of sad.
But... Well, we did see, I saw a golf cart with... I thought Minnie was on there too.
Minnie was at the end of the race.
Okay.
You get a photo with her with your medals and
right.
Mickey's coming to swap out with her. They did have two cast members dressed up in like jogging suits at the observation tower that were kind of like, you know, they were being funny. It made me think of like on the marathon, they have those people like tourists dressed up that are like yelling and, you know, saying things. They did have them at the observation tower. When I ran by, they were trying to get all the runners to do the wave.
Yeah, so. They were kind of like Citizens of Hollywood type of people.
Yeah.
They were like in 70s tracksuits and being very silly. Mike?
So it sounds like a couple of things I'm picking up. Number one, similarities between the land and the sea 5Ks, congestion, characters. So, you know, I hear those two, and I guess congestion is hard to avoid when you have so many people signed up. I don't know. I would have been really curious to know what the limit would have been for Castaway Key. I don't remember if it ever said sold out. I think it may have.
I think it did. I think it was sold out.
Yeah. I think it did,
so
yeah.
I don't know what the other 5Ks had as far as people go, but this is an official 5K. So
yeah, I think the regular 5K just says about 100.
Yeah, I think you're right. 1 to 200.
I think that they've had up to maybe 150. I know when people started hearing how many runners were at this one, they weren't sure how the course was going to handle all the runners. So I don't know if that's why they changed it. I'm not sure.
And I guess technically you probably could have signed up to do both 5Ks and got another of the same
Some
medal.
Some people did, and they got real excited about another medal.
Oh,
like,
boy.
It's the same one.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, that's... I didn't see a lot of kids... on this, did you? I saw some, but not a lot. So that was interesting, too.
Either. And, I mean, one thing to note, yes, it's in the Bahamas. It was humid. I was soaking wet by the end of it.
It was sticky, but it wasn't outrageous. It wasn't uncomfortable.
Well, the course was a little shaded in those paths, which was nice, too.
Right. So, Megan, would you do it again?
I would. I think it's a really unique experience. You know, I haven't done the Castaway Key 5K normally, so I can't really compare the two. But, you know, the medal, like I said, is absolutely beautiful. And it was really neat to just be walking around the ship and see other runners all the time. You know, would I do it just for the challenge? I don't know. You know, now that I've done it, I'm not sure. But I think it was a neat thing to add.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It was interesting to me knowing a lot of people who run a lot of Disney races, how many people I saw that I knew. I probably would estimate 30 people I knew out of that group. I kept on just saying, hi, you know, as they were going by. So there are a lot of, you know, diehard Run Disney fans in that group. I would do it again, but I have to admit the carrot for me is the cruise and not necessarily the race for that one. I mean, the cruise after running a marathon or after doing Goofy was the carrot. So
yeah, I think that was the deal. I think that when they found out how successful and how well received Dopey was last year, they thought, maybe we should not just offer the Dopey again, but let's talk about the cruise and how that can be a recovery period for the Castaway Key. I had a question that I wanted to ask you guys, and I'm trying to think. I forgot it.
That's all right. Well, while you're thinking about that, I will start a rumor that is completely unsupported by anything. But one of our servers, I won't say where, but you know, they were very prepared for the. They were saying, "Oh, you're runners," and at every meal, at every place we visited, they knew that the runners were there. But somebody said, "Oh, I hear they're talking about doing a 10K there." So who knows? And I think they definitely had the room for it. I mean, I've taken the bike trail all the way up to where there's a tower. There's plenty of room for a 6 mile race there. So that would be fun.
Yeah, there is. I'd be interested to see what it would look like.
I mean, they would really have to. Well, first off, again, I guess they would have to start early in the morning because they will have non-runners on the ship, and I don't think you can have runners and non-runners on that. On that island without having some issues with crowd movement. So if they were to do a 10K, again, they would probably have it start early in the morning and probably have it done by 8 or 9.
Yeah, I believe they let people off the ship at 8:30.
8:30. And the regular 5K, the free 5K, I guess we'll call it, starts at 9. So you'd have to prepare for that too.
Right. So I want to say one perk that I found is that afterwards, although the trams were not running to Serenity Bay, Amanda and I, a lot of runners went back to the ship. We walked over to Serenity Bay. We were the first ones there. We got the first seats there. It was completely pristine when we got there. And we had a friend bring our gear off the boat, a friend who was not running. So we had our bathing suits brought to us. And that was fantastic. But I think if I didn't have a friend doing that, we didn't mention, Megan, that there was a gear check.
Yes, I was just thinking that too.
Yeah. So I found they said right when you got off the boat, I guess, that you could check your gear, but I missed it. And so I thought I'm going to have to carry. I didn't have much, but I didn't know how cold it was going to be. I just had another long sleeve running shirt and I don't know, something else, but I thought I'm going to have to carry this. And then I just happened to walk by somebody from Run Disney and they said, "Oh, we'll take that over for you." When I picked up my gear, there was probably 30 pieces, you know, 30 bags there. So it was all done very informally on a table.
Yeah. And they also had at the end of the race, water, Powerade in the boxes.
The same bananas. Boxes. Yeah.
Yep. The ones that are there all the time.
So, Mike, do you have any questions?
I guess, I was going to ask the both of you, since this was an official Run Disney race, would you say that the Run Disney brand was well represented by staff?
I thought it was extremely well run. I saw Run Disney people all over the place. And since Amanda and I were, you know, just in the auditorium, they had a sense of how they wanted us to go. They herded us out. They had food for us. There's plenty of water. And when Amanda and I were leaving towards Serenity Bay, I saw the number of people who were breaking everything down. And they were just, they were amazing. They kind of seemed like they knew they needed to get out of there before the trams were working. So I thought it was very well run.
Okay, I got a question. Megan, I'm going to ask you this question. If you were to be a consultant for Run Disney and they said to you, "Can you give us some thoughts on what you think we could do to make this an even more enjoyable event for the Disney runners?" What would you suggest, if anything?
For the most part, I thought the event itself, like Michelle said, was extremely well run. Maybe another character, you know, I kept thinking it was, you know, it was really warm and I kept thinking, "Oh, I'll just run to the next character," and the next character never came. But, you know, now that they've got one under their belt, I think some of the issues I had would be solved. Like, we had no information up until like a week before. I'm sure that'll be handled now that they've run it and they know, you know, where things would be. Let me think. You know, for the most part, you know, for being 750 people, I'm sure it seemed pretty simple to them too. You know, it wasn't thousands of runners.
Right.
I guess one thing I think would be really interesting, now I don't know how many runners would take part of it in it. I don't even know if I would, but I know when they first announced it, they talked about different things that runners were going to have available on the cruise. You know, they said something about, you know, special food areas and speakers, and, you know, it seemed like they were offering more. And when it came down to it, it was the one speaker panel and that was it.
It would have been nice just to have like a meet of all the runners, you know, just like there's a reception for the cast, you know, the Castaway Club that I went to. But it would have been nice to have a runners meet just to kind of be able to, you know, schmooze with people and say hello and things like that, and have Tara there.
Yeah, or even like a, you know, like they do like the mixology classes and things like that, you know, have it be with Tara a nutritional thing, or with Jeff a training thing. You know, I think that since everybody's on the ship, that would be kind of a neat thing to do, that you can take part in it if you want. If not, that's fine too.
Right. So we like to ask people to give a grade to the races. And so if you were going to grade this whole experience, what would you give it, Megan?
I'd probably give it B plus, A minus.
Okay.
I thought it was very, very well done. You know, like I said, I don't have too many complaints, so, or things I would change.
I would give it an A minus. I thought it was very well run, but there's a little bit room for improvement. And I just hope that they don't grow it so much that it becomes too out of control.
I agree. I don't think that they have much wiggle room for many more.
Right. So our Mickey Miles cruise is going to be that very same cruise next year. Mike, what are your thoughts about running that race?
Who runs 5Ks at Run Disney? It's so crowded, you end up walking. I think my PR for a 5K at Run Disney is like an hour and 15 minutes. It's just, you just can't run. You just walk. I think that what they need to know, and maybe they do know, how many is too many for that particular race. That's the only thing that concerns me about the cruise, Michelle. There may be a lot of people who may want to go on the cruise to do that race. And if you sign up for the cruise and you don't have an opening in the race, that could be an issue. So
yeah. But at least they get the same medal, yes. But not yeah. the inaugural yeah. medal. Yeah. All right. Well, Megan, thank you so much for coming and sharing your experiences with us.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. We hope to have you back again. And Mike, thanks for asking questions. I don't know if we two ladies let you get a lot of questions in, but thank you.
Okay.
So for Megan Biller and for my co-host Mike Scopa, this is Michelle Scribner-McLean. We will see you on the road or on the cruise. The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.